Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I would not be surprised if that Drake May is in there sooner rather than later, because the two of them are so close. And like, a lot of it isn't how far Drake May's come, because I do think he still has a long ways to go. He really does. To be a good, effective starter in this league. I didn't love the film from Jacoby Brissett. You see a lot of the same stuff that we've seen in practice in the preseason games, where he's holding the ball a little bit too long. He's not seeing where the open receivers are. He's taking sacks. He's throwing balls unnecessarily across the field. Like, there's a lot to be concerned about. And I think, really, if those guys were telling you the truth, they would probably say they don't think Jacoby's going to be very good. They think that Drake's going to be in there sooner rather than later.
Greg Bedard, how about that? They don't think Jacoby's going to be very good.
That's because they have eyes and ears.
They think Drake's going to be in there sooner rather than later. So I would ask the Patriots, players on the team, coaches, front office, why even bother?
What's with the dog and pony show? Why not just play the better guy?
Well, like, seriously.
So I think I still maintain all along the whole Drake May plan. What they didn't account for was Jacoby Brissett playing like this. They thought they had a much higher floor. They thought they were going to bring him in similar like Miami with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, when they had Tua, they were like, well, we have Fitzpatrick. Like, this is what he's going to be. And he kind of was for that point. That's why they even had a bit of a yo-yo and they handled that very poorly. But I think other guys, like other kind of backup quarterbacks who have started games, even like a Gardner Minshew, I feel like would have been better off. You might have gotten a little bit more play. Might have been able to kind of, you know, leave Drake May watching for a month and yet also giving your team as good of a chance as any. But the way Jacoby Brissett has gone out there, I mean, just the preseason games that we have seen, the practices that all the beat reporters were reporting on, especially the ones at the end of camp, weren't looking great.
No.
And so Drake May's right there with him, if not past him. And you're like, how long can you really go with him?
And the thing you continue to hear over and over and over again about Brissett, and we saw him for very limited amounts of time in the preseason, but what you continue to hear over and over and over again is, yeah, Brissett doesn't throw picks, but it's because he takes so long to process, and he waits so long to throw that he just takes a bazillion sacks.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't turn it over, but he is making negative plays, and the offense, there's no upside to it. Like, at least sometimes if you have a guy who throws a lot of picks, they're making plays. Josh Allen would be an extreme example of this.
Jameis Winston.
Yeah, right. Jameis Winston's going to give you a play, but he's going to take away a play.
Yeah, yeah.
But at least there's some playmaking in there.
You're right.
And honestly,
yards and like just some excitement.
I would prefer that. I would prefer Jameis Winston to Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, because I also think with this approach where all right, it's the guy that doesn't throw a lot of picks. So say it's like anywhere between 5 and 8 interceptions. But what if it's 12 and 15 touchdowns like over the course of a whole season? Like, what are you going to really get with that? Plus, I think it ends up leading to a lot of 3 and outs. Or, all right, he doesn't throw a pick there because he took a sack.
Right.
And then that leads to a punt, and now your poor defense is on the field again. And then again and again and again. And you're not taking any real chances. Plus, this strategy or this style of quarterback play with a bad offensive line, and we'll see about the running game. Like, it's hard to imagine it being a top five run offense. Whereas, even though he wasn't the play caller, Alex Van Pelt was in Cleveland for the last several years, where Kevin Stefanski would run the hell out of it because they had the personnel to do it. So you could afford to have the quarterback that isn't throwing 30-plus touchdown passes a season because you were running so effectively. Like, I don't think they're going to be able to run that well. And then you're just like, all right, how do you score points? That's what it always comes back to. How is this team on offense? Don't give me the pick six, scoop and score. Like, okay, great.
Marcus Jones punt return.
Marcus Jones.
There's 21 right there, Keith.
Right,
what
do you mean? How does the offense score points?
They don't. I think their implied total is 16 and a half, something like
they're
that.
They went for two.
Like, how are they going to score?
Yeah.
How are they going to do it? Fair question. On Brissett, and this just underscores the lack of playmaking, because you hear about the picks a lot. 51 touchdowns to 23 interceptions. I've heard this a lot. 1.4 interception percentage. It's one of the lowest of all time.
Awesome.
So you're like, great. How is a guy who doesn't turn it over 18 and 30 in his career? Yeah. How? Because he makes no plays. And because he does take a million sacks. In fact, he led the league in sacks 1 year. He took 52 in his first year as a starter, his second year in the league, way back in 2017.
But that's that
with the Indianapolis
Colts. It's the exact mentality of like, don't turn it over. Like, okay, then I'll hold it, I'll take a sack, we'll punt.
And it's because he's not reading the field. It's not just like a fear of turning it over, it's because he's not reading it. He doesn't see it on time, so now he has to eat the ball.
So this text says, y'all sound like donkeys.
Ooh.
Eeyaw. Brissett, he says, Brissett played 4 series in the whole preseason. Everybody said he looked better in practice. Let's give him a game or two before you say he's trash.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going to do that either because...
I've given him 8 years in the league. Right. I've seen it.
You don't need to give these veterans... That's the whole idea of these veteran quarterbacks. You kind of have an idea of what they are. Also, all right, he played 4 series. How do you look? Looked horrible. For a guy that they say didn't turn it over, turned it over.
Yep.
And he got hurt, which is another... I don't even blame him for that. I'm just saying, like, one of the reasons he didn't play as much in the preseason was because he had to leave the game due to injury. And the second part is just not true. I think at the beginning of camp, there was, hey, the offense looks better, looks more professional with Brissett than with Drake May.
Yeah, and May struggled. He looked good in 7-on-7s, but struggled in 11-on-11s.
I think it was the second preseason game, or maybe even the first practice after the first preseason game.
It started the turn.
That's 100% when it started to turn. Yeah. And everybody that was down there that watched said Drake May was better. You know who also said that? Gerard Mayo.
Yeah.
Gerard Mayo said it to Greg Hill.
He's outplayed him.
He's outplayed him.
And apparently people are telling Greg Bedard that everybody thinks that Brissett looks like trash. Yeah. And that May is outplaying him.
Yep.
By the way, on Brissett, and I was just looking this up, Brissett has started games in 5 years in his career. Started games.
Yep.
He threw 0 touchdowns in 2 games as a rookie with the Patriots. Fine.
That was a situation we all remember because it was the Patriots. He had the one game where they schemed it up and they beat the Texans and they got shut out by the Bills.
I don't hold that against him.
He played hurt.
He wasn't supposed to start.
Right.
He was third on the depth chart that year. Brady was suspended. Garoppolo got hurt. He played hurt. Fine. I don't hold that one against him. He started 15 games the next year, the year he took 52 sacks, he threw 13 touchdowns. Okay? He started 15 games in 2019, 18 touchdowns. He started 11 in 2022, 12 touchdowns. Oh, I missed a year in there. 5 starts in 2021, 5 touchdowns. So maybe...
A touchdown a game?
Maybe you're getting a touchdown a game.
Would you sign up right now for his 2019 season where he completed 60.9% of his passes and he had 18 touchdowns, 6 picks? And he averaged just under 200 yards a game.
Would I sign up for it over Drake May? No.
No.
But what if you're telling me right now that's the Brissett you get, yeah, I would take that. You're telling me I'm getting Brissett, I would take that.
And QB rating of 88.
That's the ceiling.
Yeah, oh yeah.
61%, 3,000 yards,
that's
18 touchdowns, 6 picks, 88 quarterback rating, you're below 500.
Right.
But yes, if you're telling me I have to get Brissett, that's the Brissett I want.
All right.
But that's the ceiling. 617-779-7937. What's the key matchup to the game here, Keith?
It's probably got to be the defensive line for the Bengals versus the offensive line for the Patriots. Like, and I think for both the game and the future, like it's so much about Drake May. And I know it seems like we're hammering that point, but it's true. You have a third overall pick quarterback who might be the franchise. Hopefully, will be the franchise. And many people believe he's not out there because the offensive line is so bad. So if it looks halfway decent, I think it makes the decision a lot easier to throw him out there, maybe even as soon as week 2. So I think it's that. If the offensive line, which it sounds like City So's not going to play,
nope.
But if they get manhandled by the Bengals, I think Wolf and Van Pelt are like, see, we got to kind of keep Brissett out there. But if they just hold their own, Like, I'm sure Brissett will get sacked. There's going to be tackles for loss. Like, it's a football game. But as long as they line up properly, there's not a million penalties, and Brissett doesn't take 4, 5, 6 sacks, then maybe we'll get this change sooner rather than later. But if they, if they're decent enough, maybe Ramondre gets something going. Maybe they can even win the time of possession. And like that's one of the check marks for like an upset, right? So I would say it's not the most exciting matchup, but the most important one would be Pat's offensive line versus the front of the Bengals.
Trenches, Keith.
You know me. I like to get in there with the hog mollies. Yeah, that's what they call them.
Get in the trenches with the hog mollies.
Dogs.
With Rich Keith.
What do you got?
So I think it's similar, to be honest.
I actually think it's the same thing.
I think it's Ramondre Stevenson. And so, like, but there's a lot of overlap in our answers.
Yep.
I think it's Ramondre.
Yeah.
They paid him. I want him to look like he looked 2 years ago and the year prior when he was a more limited player.
Mm-hmm.
Still splitting that backfield with Damian Harris. Is he a playmaker? Can he handle a bunch of this offense? Because he's going to need to. They're going to be checking down, whoever the quarterback is, probably Brissett. You're going to be checking down. I want to see him active in the passing game, if he's even in the passing game, or if it's Antonio Gibson. And can he churn out yards behind this offensive line? Because if he can't, you're putting it on the back of Jacoby Brissett.
It's too much.
And that's a problem. So, key player to me, key matchup, Ramondre Stevenson. That's this week's Verizon matchup. And it's brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the New England Patriots. And speaking of the Patriots, how about a Patriots Hall of Famer, Drew Bledsoe, joining us here on Jones and Keefe. How we doing, Drew?
Hey, good morning, fellas. What's happening?
Oh, not too much. Just getting ready for week one for the Patriots, reacting to last night's opener. Drew Bledsoe, brought to us by FanDuel. They have some cool stuff going on. So we'll get his thoughts on that and what's available to FanDuel users out there if you want to sign up in a moment. I'm curious, though, Drew, your thoughts on the Patriots and their handling of a young quarterback. You were thrown into the fire your rookie year. You played. You got hurt. You came back. The team picked up steam late in 93. You carried that momentum into 94. How do you think the Patriots are handling Drake May and his transition to the NFL?
Yeah, you know, obviously I'm not there for practice, right? So, you know, this is just philosophical. But philosophically, I like what they're doing. And partly, you know, it's largely because of Jacoby Brissett. I mean, you know, this guy's a veteran quarterback. He's played well for a long time. And, you know, I know he's going to be a great mentor for Drake, but he also helped him win games in the short term. And then philosophically, you know, look, I was thrown right in there. I felt like I was ready for it. Obviously, Parcells felt like I was ready for it. But, you know, there's also a benefit to sitting and watching. And I didn't learn that until I got hurt my rookie year. You know, I got to sit and watch 3 games. And by just standing on the sidelines and watching for 3 games, it seemed like that slowed the whole thing down a little bit. So philosophically, I agree with this. And I also think that Jacoby's an outstanding quarterback, and he may help them win some games in the near term, you know, while they're getting Drake ready.
What are your memories from your NFL debut? Because I went back and looked this up. You, week one, were taking on Bruce Smith and the defending AFC champion Buffalo Bills and all their talent on defense. What was that like going into a game against that incredible team?
It was terrifying. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm standing out there. I'm out there playing catch, warming up, and here comes Bruce Smith walking down the tunnel. And you know, 5 months earlier, I'd watched these guys in the Super Bowl from my dorm room in Pullman, Washington. You know, and so I'm like, you know, I don't belong here. This just didn't feel right. You know, and then Jim Kelly, one of my heroes, comes running out of the tunnel. Now, he was at least nice enough to, you know, run by and pat me on the butt and say, "Hey, good luck, Rook." You know, I was like, "Oh, well, you know, thank you, Mr. Kelly." You know, it's like they wanted his autograph at that point. But it was head spinning. You hear people talk about this all the time, but then at some point you figure out, okay, we're playing football and I know how to do this. But it was, you know, the pregame part of it was absolutely terrifying.
When was the moment, maybe it was your rookie year, where you looked around and you said, okay, I don't necessarily have that self-doubt anymore, what you were just saying. Now I'm a football player. I'm here. I can do it. I've done it my whole life. When was that moment?
You know, there were a few moments, but one happened in that game. That was Bruce Armstrong, our Hall of Fame left tackle, had just come back off of a devastating knee injury. Bruce Smith got the best of him, beat him inside, and he put one of those hits on me that, you know, used to be legal, Today, he would have been thrown out of the league for what he did with his helmet right in the middle of my shoulder blades. But he put that hit on me, and then I popped back up and kept playing. I was like, okay, cool. You know, this is the baddest dude on the planet, but he didn't kill me, so I guess I can keep playing.
I know we're going back a few months now, but what's the reaction been like since the Tom Brady roast and even since the dynasty? Because it seems like all of a sudden, Drew, there was this time, and now that, Brady's career is over, we're looking back on it a lot more. And back-to-back, as Patriots fans, we got a chance to see you a lot. I think you were really one of the highlights of the dynasty documentary, which not a lot of fans loved overall, but we enjoyed the parts that you were in. And then the roast, which seemed like an absolute blast and sort of a cool experience, I'm sure, for a lot of players and ex-players that don't get a chance to do that stuff normally. But what has that response been like following those two things?
You know, it's been pretty crazy. You know, the dynasty piece, I think that was more, when I would come back to New England, people would mention it and talk about it. And that was, I'm not sure that the rest of the country, watched it as much. And if they did, it was because they wanted to see the bad parts that the Patriots fans hated. But the roast is kind of a phenomenon. It just seemed like, people out of the woodwork, walking through the airport or some dude riding by on his bicycle or whatever. The number of people that watched that was pretty astounding. And then the other thing that I thought was pretty cool coming out of the roast was that, I thought I was kind of pushing it a little bit, and turns out I was totally PG compared to what everybody else was doing. It was all of a sudden it was okay to laugh at stuff again. It seemed like for such a long period of time, if you went and made a joke that was over the line, all of a sudden you were canceled. And instead, coming out of this, you're like, oh, okay, we can laugh at this stuff again. And I think that's, for me personally, I think that's important. We've got to be able to, laugh at the hard stuff. You've got to be able to laugh at the difficult stuff. It's like, it's a great therapy. And I just was so happy that coming out of that, nobody got canceled for, making a bad joke.
No, it seemed like unanimously it was loved. And I'm curious, the lead up that night and then be a little bit after, what was it like kind of working with those comedians? You have people from two different worlds. You had sort of one half of the stage was these great players, and the other half you have these great comedians, and then everybody kind of coming together and roasting each other throughout the night. But how was that?
It was really fun. There was the comedians across the board were incredibly kind people. We got to hang out with them more, afterwards. We did the after party, and then we went to the comedy store late night and watched Dave Chappelle comedy about 2 a.m.
Oh, nice.
That's why I had to do the Dan Patrick show the next morning at 7 a.m. I was about as fuzzy as I've ever been. I don't think we got in bed till about 4:30 a.m. But they're all just incredibly kind, and Nikki Glaser, who is just a trained killer on stage, is like one of the kindest people you could ever meet. It's just so weird to see. I told her she's like a Bond villain. She's just this pretty, super sweet lady that then is an absolute trained killer when she takes the stage. It was pretty cool.
So that's it's similar to Bill Belichick in some ways, Drew. He for years shunned the media, spit at the media. Now he's not only transitioning to the media, but he's also on social media. I don't know if you saw this. He's on Instagram now. You have any thoughts on Bill and his second career, if you will?
I'm happy for him. If he's happy doing this, I'm happy for him. He's been all football all the time. Working incredible hours for really his entire life. And if he's able to make that switch and, enjoy some free time and enjoy doing some of these things that football coaches miss out on for their whole career, then I'm really happy for him. I will be curious, though, because, we've all seen some of these coaches that, like Sean Payton, I thought he was done forever and just going to ride off into the sunset. Next thing he's back coaching. So it's in their blood. So I'll be very curious to see after a year whether he's able to settle into that lifestyle and just enjoy himself, or whether he's going to have to go back in and start coaching.
Well, I was just going to ask you, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'll be curious to see, and I'll bet I'm guessing that Bill doesn't know right now. So he's got to get in and do it for a year and see if he can turn off that coach switch, or if he's just got to get back in there. So my guess is he probably doesn't know what that means yet. But I'm hopeful for him if he can do that and just kind of chill out and relax a little bit. I mean, obviously it's still work to do TV, but that's a few hours a day, not 100 hours a week.
What are your expectations for Brady in the booth?
I think he's going to do well. You know, like he's going to prepare. He's going to do what Tom does. He's going to work it to death. Obviously he knows his football. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of a learning curve, because there's a rhythm to it, right? It's not just knowledge. It's almost like you're in a two-man band and you got to learn to play together and make music rather than just dispensing knowledge. So there'll be a learning curve, for them, certainly. But I know that they probably at this point have called 50 games together, privately for practice. So I know he'll do a great job at it. He'll put in the work and make himself great at it.
Patriots Hall of Famer Drew Bledsoe. He's brought to you by FanDuel, America's only sports book to partner with YouTube and roll out a new NFL Sunday ticket offer for fans who want to catch more action at kickoff. FanDuel customers who bet $5, that's it, will receive a 3-week free trial for the NFL Sunday ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV, which allows fans to watch and wager on their favorite teams around the league. YouTube is the home of the NFL Sunday ticket, which gives fans access to live out-of-market Sunday afternoon games throughout the NFL season. And those new customers, again, bet the $5. You get the 3 weeks for a free trial. Drew, how'd you get involved with FanDuel, and why are you working with them?
They reached out to me, and I've stayed away, honestly, from the gaming space. Look, we have a winery, so we're already invested in one vice. I felt like I should not embrace another vice, but they really are. They're serious about promoting responsible gaming. This is supposed to be entertainment, rather than, they don't want people out gambling, gambling real dollars that are going to affect their lives. And so, that's part of the reason that I'm with them, is to share that message. Like, hey, bet on your favorite team, but, bet something that's an entertainment type dollar, not something that's going to matter to your family. But it's a pretty cool deal. I mean, you bet $5 and you get 3 weeks of a Sunday ticket on YouTube and YouTube TV. I've been super happy with the move over to YouTube TV for Sunday ticket. It just seems like it works pretty seamlessly. Plus, I think if it's your first time jumping on the app, I think your first $5, you get like $200 bonus cash from FanDuel. So pretty good deal. But I'm happy with the partnership with them, mostly because they're trying to be responsible with what they're doing.
New customers, as you said, you bet $5 for the first time. You also receive $200 in bonus bets. For more information, visit FanDuel.com/YouTube. Drew, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much, and don't be a stranger.
All right, I appreciate it, and good luck to the Pats this week. Let's start turning this thing around, man. I'm excited to see it.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, Drew.
See you guys.
Drew Bledsoe joining us here, presented by FanDuel and NFL Sunday Ticket. Good package there. If you spend $5 on FanDuel,
pretty good.
You get the 3 weeks. If you're a new user, you also get the $200 in bonus bets. Well, he said he learned by sitting.
Well, it's, I mean, listen,
I'm surprised by that.
Can't argue with the guy, right? It's his experience. He started week one, and it's funny, against the Bills at that point. I know they weren't Super Bowl winners, but they were loaded. And then he played right off the rip. Then he sat for 3 games, I believe it was, due to injury. Then they came back, and they actually finished the season a lot better.
Four wins in a row.
You know what? It was also funny, too. And,
so 3 weeks.
I had a buddy text me during that interview saying, he's like, his first answer was, he's like, well, Jacoby Brissett's pretty good, so he's going to start right after we were just dumping on him. Well, agree to disagree on the Brissett part, but I can't, if that's his experience that he thought he did learn during those 3 weeks, then so be it.
He thought he learned by sitting. Yep. He also thinks Jacoby Brissett's really good, so we're going to have to square those away. Let's follow up on that. That was when his phone wasn't breaking. Big thank you to Drew Bledsoe
for
joining us. Phone a little spotty, but we appreciate it nonetheless.
Once a Patriot, always a Patriot. When these guys call in, it's a good point. Dicey.
That is going to be real dicey. That's true. 617-779-7937. Let's follow up on some of what Drew said. We'll circle back to it. And the Patriots tanking. Should they tank?
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Philosophically, I like what they're doing. And partly, you know, is because that it's largely because of Jacoby Brissett. I mean, you know, this guy's a veteran quarterback. He's played well for a long time. And, you know, I know he's going to be a great mentor for Drake, but he also helped him win games in the short term. And then philosophically, you know, look, I was thrown right in there. I felt like I was ready for it. Obviously, Parcells felt like I was ready for it. But, you know, there's also a benefit to sitting and watching. And I didn't learn that until I got hurt my rookie year. You know, I got to sit and watch three games. And by just standing on the sidelines and watching for three games, it seemed like that slowed the whole thing down a little bit. So philosophically, I agree with this. And you know, I also think that Jacoby's an outstanding quarterback, and he may help them win some games in the near term, you know, while they're getting Drake ready.
Full gamut there from Drew Bledsoe. Crummy phone that leveled out.
Yep. For the most part, yes. There's some good stuff in there. If you missed the interview, you can check out the whole thing. I thought there was good stuff in there.
No, I think there was a lot of good info in there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the audio was the only questionable thing.
Oh, yeah.
Drew was great.
Yeah, no. And again, thanks to Drew Bledsoe for joining us, courtesy of FanDuel.
Real quick, not to go down a whole sidebar here, but with Drew Bledsoe, I think you, me, and Billy, like, people our age, like, if you're in your 40s, I think you can respect it. If you're younger than 40, you probably don't realize, because of all the winning that happened in the town, not just with the Patriots, but everybody. To me, Drew Bledsoe and Nomar are the same, where, like, in elementary school, there wasn't anybody more popular, more, like more jerseys, more, like, people's favorite player than Bledsoe and Nomar. And they both kind of had the same fate, where they left, and then the teams got great. And in some circles, they've gotten kind of forgotten, but it's like, it's hard to forget, like, 95 through, like, 99, 2000, as, you know, a little bit as you get into, like, Nomar, like, how popular those two guys were.
So I'll tell you this right now. I feel like you were probably more of a jersey guy than I was growing up.
I was a jersey guy.
Like, ballpark it.
A lot. Basketball and can't football even jerseys. I had a lot of jerseys.
Like, are we talking 100?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, we're not made of money over here.
I don't know. How many were we talking?
A bunch. I mean, I probably had over 10 of probably 10 football, maybe like a little bit more than 10 basketball.
Okay, that's a lot
of jerseys.
That's a lot of jerseys.
Yeah.
Lanny, jersey guy?
Yeah, I was.
Jersey guy.
Mine was mostly football.
Okay. Yeah. I think I can remember two growing up. Three. I take that back. I can remember three. I had two basketball jerseys, big Tim Hardaway guy.
Nice.
And a noted good guy, Tim Hardaway.
Yeah.
And I had a Garnett on the Timberwolves. I like Garnett.
T-Wolves Garnett.
That was like a junior high-esque
nice jersey.
The only other one I own was Bledsoe. That's it.
Really?
That's it.
Yeah, it's right. I didn't have a Bledsoe. I tried to shy away from like the super popular ones, but like most kids did have a Bledsoe.
First of all, I don't appreciate where you're going with that. But second of all,
kind of guy. I had an Eric Metcalf Falcons jersey to sort of put it in perspective.
Yeah, you were a Ty Law guy.
I still have a Ty Law jersey.
Just on those Patriots teams, fact you were a Ty Law guy, not a Bledsoe guy,
right?
You know, speaks about you and speaks about me.
Speaking of good guys, you know who my first Patriots jersey was? This is not good. This is Rich Keefe trivia.
I probably told you before. I do know this. Dave Meggett?
It was. It's a bad guy. Don't bang Dave Meggett. He's a bad guy. I don't have the jersey anymore. I don't wear the jersey anymore.
Patriots did a buyback.
They should.
Yeah, they should.
Dave Meggett's a horrible guy.
He was a real bad guy.
Good return man, a little scat back, though. Mm-hmm. Parcells brought him from the Giants.
That goes back to you being a fan of the Jeff Demps types.
I did, yeah.
Xavier Worthy types.
Sure.
Yeah, Xavier, on the field.
He can scoot.
Yeah, on the field.
Not off.
No.
That's where I say goodbye.
So big thanks to Drew Bledsoe.
Bledsoe was great.
If you missed any of it, it's up on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free. Easy. Full interview on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. You can watch it in full. The answer there, though, was very interesting. I did not expect that from Drew. I kind of thought that was going to be a layup, a slam dunk.
No, it's in your face,
For
Jones.
Us, that was Dikembe Mutombo. No.
Yeah, he's like, no, I actually
right
learned
back
quite
at
a
me.
Bit by watching.
And I,
like, wait, you sure about that?
I gasped a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, again, he also said that Jacoby Brissett's really good. So, like, I don't know.
That could just be a nice thing, right? So I almost, even though it works against our argument, I'll sort of put that to the side. Like, that's just him talking up another quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to bury it unless he's doing a roast.
Yep.
He's not going to bury any quarterback.
Yeah.
The Jacoby Brissett roast.
Yep.
Coming to Netflix next
year. That'd be a good one.
So
Hey, you get sacked again, man.
He's not going to trash Brissett. He might even know him, and everybody loves Brissett. He's like the nicest guy. But, I mean, I can't say he's lying about his own experience. He was ready to start week one, as ready as he could be, because he said, you know, Bill Parcells thought he was ready, for God's sakes. And then he started a decent number of games, and then he was out hurt for three, and he claims that he learned a lot. So I'll take him at his word for it, and
no,
it helped him.
Me too. But the what I would say about Drew, and whether he learned more sitting or not, that is different than Drake May, because Bledsoe played right away.
Yeah.
And
that's a different experience.
And he also got hurt, and so, like, the things you're worried about, maybe getting thrown to the wolves a little bit, getting injured, Bledsoe experienced all those things. Mm-hmm. And he came back by the end of his rookie year. They won four in a row in December. They beat the Dolphins at the end of the year. I just looked up that box score. Bledsoe was great in the game. That was Scott Mitchell. That wasn't Marino on the other side, so the Dolphins might have laid down more in that game than I remember.
Scott Mitchell could chuck it, though, a little lefty.
But they beat Miami at the end of the year, which built momentum going into the next year.
They had four tugs. They won four straight games, like you said.
And they were in the playoffs. And then a few years after that, they're in the Super Bowl. They lose. Parcells leaves, Carroll comes in, sets the stage for the following transition, but they built momentum at the end of his rookie year by playing. So, fine, he said he learned something. The game slowed down. He was able to watch and digest.
But just looking at the games, and again, I'll take him at his word for it, don't get me wrong, but there were games, so he started the first five games of the season.
Who'd he watch, not to put you on the spot, but while you're answering, who was playing?
A loss to, who was the quarterback
in
those
games? Who was he watching? Scott Sekules? Zoe?
It could have been Zoe. No.
I don't think it was.
No, it was Scott Sekules.
Ugh.
Scott Sekules.
You learn by watching Scott Sekules? I wish I had that ready to go.
Hey, Billy, call Drew back. We got a grill about watching Scott Sekules.
Yeah.
Hey, so what?
Hot under those lights, eh, Bledsoe?
What was your big takeaway from Scott Sekules going on?
Don't do that. Don't do that. Definitely don't do that.
They lost a heartbreaker to the Seattle Seahawks, who I believe were in the AFC at the time. They lost 10-9.
Was that Rick? That was Rick Meyer, wasn't it?
That was.
I think it was.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be Bledsoe and Meyer, right?
It was supposed to be number one, number two pick.
Yeah.
And Rick Meyer outdueled Scott Sekules and Zoe.
Zoe was in there.
Well, Zoe had two passes in that game.
Nice.
Scott Sekules went 15 of 30 for $129, two picks.
No touchdowns?
Well, no, they scored 9 points.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry, I forgot about that part. Yeah.
They didn't have.
Would you take
Scott Missin-Sisson actually made three?
Oh, man.
Remember Scott Missin-Sisson?
I do. Georgia Tech? Scott Missin-Sisson?
Yeah, Scott Missin-Sisson just wide left, wide right.
like short. Like it was
even
horrible.
Even Chad Ryland's like, what are you doing, bro?
No, Scott missing system was bad. But no, but I bring this up just looking at his game logs from 93 is so he played five games, then he sat three. Then he didn't start week nine, but he came on in relief. Then he started the rest of the season. But there are a bunch of games within the first five that he played better than the games after. So it's not like, and again, I believe him. I believe that he says that they learn more. But it's not like it's not like it was five bad games, sit and watch, and then like much improved games, right? Like he had a game where he went 18 of 48 and he threw five picks. That was post-sitting the three games. I mean, he's a rookie. Like, he's going to have bad games. But you know what I'm saying? Like, one of his worst games came after that stretch.
Hmm.
He did finish the year just under 2,500 yards passing, 15 touchdowns, 15 picks. So if it wasn't for that one game, it really would have been skewed.
Those completion percentages are awesome, by the
way. Dude, that is 1993 football.
Okay.
That's probably pretty good.
It's all the way through 2006.
Dude, 93. Well, dude, complete. All the quarterback rating leaders, not to go on a QBR rant
or
whatever.
Do it.
They're all like the all-time leader, I think, is Tony Romo. Like, it's all modern-day guys. The completion percentages have changed. What used to be okay was, like, 60%.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you're good.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be, like, 70%.
We just said it. Brissett was 61, and we're, like, throwing up on the desk. We're like, ugh.
Yeah.
But 61 used to be good.
Uh-huh.
And so, no, I was going to ask you, that Sequels line, would you take that out of Brissett? 15 out of 30, 129, and two picks.
Yeah, probably.
And they cover.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'd probably take that.
Yeah, that sounds pretty great.
So there you go. That's Drew Bledsoe, text line, 37937. Jones, I thought you said you'd learn absolutely nothing from sitting and holding a clipboard. You should come out and say you were wrong.
Oh, come on and say
Since
it, Jones.
Since he said you didn't learn anything holding a clipboard.
What, are you a coward?
You know what? I guess I can't say that Drew Bledsoe didn't learn anything. I think you learn more by playing. He said.
So Wiggy told us too. Wiggy's a player.
I asked Wiggy, and I've said this before. When did Brady learn more? And Wiggy was on both those teams, as was Drew. Maybe I should ask Drew this. Shame on me. Did Brady learn more sitting in 2000 or playing in 2001? I mean, Wiggy said 2001. Drew said he learned by sitting.
Yep.
You can jump in. 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch with Jones and Keith here on Patriots Friday on WEEI. I will be joined by Mike and Wenyu. Coming up about 45 minutes from now at 12:30. Get his thoughts going into the Patriots and the Bengals. We have a Friday four-pack, some thoughts on the game this weekend, and we'll get to misleading. You've heard of the leads, on the Greg Hill Show.
10,000 Leagues Under the Sea. It's a famous
10,000 Misleads Under the Sea. We'll get to misleading, something we disagreed with earlier today. Next.
It's time for Misleading.
You've heard the leads on the Greg Hill Show. You've heard these?
Of course I have.
I don't think they lead well.
Would you have gone with Shimes over yours?
Damn, I don't even remember what mine was, so.
On Jones and Keith.
Noontime here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We'll talk to Lou Merlone. High noon. Nice baseball team you got there, Lou.
Kind of falling apart.
Yeah.
Fell apart. It's over. It's sad state of affairs over there now.
Which Sox you got this weekend?
Battle of the Sox.
Did you know it's a national game tomorrow night?
What?
Fox. White Sox,
really?
Red Sox, Don Orsillo, AJ Pierzynski, Fox, 7:30 tomorrow.
Wow.
Wow, is right. What is that, a market?
Donald Sillaback.
Is that a market thing?
People
why
love
why
AJ
on earth Pierzynski. Is that a national game?
Pierzynski is well-liked.
That's what it is?
Yeah.
Like, I got to see AJ Pierzynski on this
call.
That's who I thought the mystery guest was on the Greg Hill Show today.
No, it wasn't. They had Grady Sizemore, who at a time was one of the great players in baseball.
Red Sox legend, Grady Sizemore.
I was just going to say, I was excited when the Red Sox brought in Grady Sizemore
that
year.
I thought it was going to work out. Did he sock a dinger in his first game?
Maybe.
He had a good first game, and then I think it kind of fell apart.
I'm like, that's a 2020 season right there. You got Grady Sizemore, you're good for 2020.
You go back to the office right there, you're going to find yourself a Surfin' Sizemore bobblehead doll, which I got at an Indians game back
so
in the day.
Can I ask a peek behind the curtain?
Yeah, I brought in a lot of my junk.
That's all those bobbleheads are yours?
Yeah.
I didn't know that until today.
It didn't fit in the basement?
Yeah, no, I unloaded a lot of junk. My wife said, get rid of a lot of stuff. And I'm like, I'm bringing it to work.
Are any of these ones yours?
No. No, none of the ones in here. I have a ton of nonsense back in the office, which was sort of my desk. Now it's just sort of like everybody's desk, but they have to like work around all these stupid bobbleheads.
Man, you ever do this where you the back of your, look at that. It's looking a little thin on the back there on Twitch.
Oh, we got a number you can call, I think.
I just,
we got a couple of hair loss guys still on
Twitch.tv slash Boston WEI. Yeah, I just looked at the bobbleheads behind me and yikes.
Yeah, we're on a little delay on the Twitch.
Thin back there.
That is
yay.
Open season.
So anyway,
but it's good. Looks good up front, though.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I just got to get to
a good mane on top, but then the back is, it's Lamar Jackson, like, thin.
Sparse. Sparse back there.
Classic horseshoe pattern.
I got like a Tobias comb over going on. Didn't love what I saw there. Oh. And so all those are yours. I didn't realize that.
A lot of bobbleheads, right?
It's a lot of bobbleheads.
Yep.
So speaking of the Greg Hill Show with a mystery guest, Grady, I was stumped.
Surfin Sizemore, who is the interim manager of the Chicago White Sox.
If you would have asked me who the manager of the White Sox is, I would have been stumped.
What
never mind.
I'll give you $1 million.
Never mind who the mystery guest is.
How frustrating would that be?
What?
Is if all of a sudden you're a sports talk radio host.
Yes.
And if somebody was like, the Red Sox are playing the White Sox tonight. You're like,
who's their manager?
They're like, I will give you $1 million. Imagine that. They're like, here it is in a briefcase. $1 million. Who's the manager on the White Sox? How mad would you be at yourself? Because I didn't know who it was either.
Very mad. Who was the manager to start the year? Who got fired where Grady Sizemore replaced him? Yeah, what is this?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? This is great stuff, Nick.
Do
you remember the first guy that won the million?
Yes.
Called his dad with $1 million on the lines. Like,
phone
hey, Dad, just calling you to let you know I won $1 million. Before he even answered.
It's a baller move.
It's the greatest moment in game show history.
Hey, you know these lifelines? Don't need them.
I'm going to burn all of them.
Yeah.
I don't know who the manager was at the beginning of the year.
Ozzie Guillen.
I remember he was the manager at one point.
Robin Ventura.
Who's naming
Tony
old?
La Russa. Tony La Russa. Good one.
Yeah, yeah. Was it La Russa?
No.
I don't know who it was.
I think Ozzie Guillen interviewed for the job, but they didn't give it to him.
Who
so
was their manager?
He hated this other guy on the broadcast because he did studio work for the White Sox.
Wait, what?
Hawk Harrelson. Do you guys...
Who's the last White Sox manager?
Do you guys remember Bobby Thigpen?
I do. I had a card of Bobby Thigpen. I think it was a score card. They did 91-92 score. They would take an all-star lineup and they would make it caricatures.
Uh-huh.
Billy definitely knows what I'm talking about. They're cartoon looking guys.
Yeah.
So, Ricky Henderson, your Mark McGuire's, Bobby Thigpen.
Nice.
Dude had a million saves 1 year.
Oh yeah.
It was Pedro
Martinez.
Griff.
Pedro Griff?
Griffall.
Fred McGriff?
Crime Dog?
Loves Fred McGriff.
Oh, man. Crime Dog.
Crime Dog was real good.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to sign that guy. What is he? He's three home runs away from 500 or something.
Just give
like
it to him. Yeah.
I think he can pull it off.
Nice. He's Mr. 500.
Yeah, we need Mr. 500 with Fred McGriff.
He's fundamentally sound.
They did it with Pujols. Why can't they do it with
Fred McGriff? How many at-bats does Fred McGriff need to get to 500 home runs?
Three. He's three away.
three. Red Sox decided for one game.
Three pitches.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Does McGriff get
493 home? He needs seven home runs.
That's going to be. It's a limp to the fence. That's a Bill Belichick.
That's a weekend series against the White Sox. You sign him right now?
Line. Yeah.
Let him play DH even? Don't even bring your glove, Fred.
60 years old.
60 years young?
Seven!
Closing in on 61. He's an October birthday.
What a miss.
Going on Halloween.
Oh, happy early birthday and Halloween to everybody out there.
Wow.
Would be a treat to get him.
CeCe wants to be a Dracula this year, so we'll see how that goes.
Hey, you asked me the other day what Lucas wants to be. I don't even know.
CeCe wants to be a Dracula. Georgie wants to be a pumpkin. She won't stop talking about this, the pumpkin. Every time you look at Halloween, she's like, pumpkin. She's like, I want to be a pumpkin. I'm like, all right.
Benny's got no say. It's awesome.
You're like, go back to that.
Yeah, at this point, you just stuff him in something.
Go back to not talking again. That's what I was just going to say. Yeah, go back to him before you had ideas.
Georgie was an avocado last year, which is great. Healthy fat. And then 3 years prior to that, her sister was also an avocado.
Benny was a werewolf last year.
Oh, that's nice. Good.
Yeah, so my girlfriend went as Red Riding Hood, but now just as an old lady.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, that is.
Yeah, the family costume is a good idea.
I like that.
Yeah, so me and my girlfriend are always pretty good about having duos. Now this baby showed up, so now we have three-way costumes.
Hand-me-down costumes, that's got to be worth it.
Hand-me-down costumes, not bad.
Yeah.
But just to paint the picture, Georgie running a little larger than CeCe was, so it's going to be interesting to see if they actually can be in lockstep. Probably not. Probably new costumes for Georgie.
You got to order a second avocado one?
She was the avocado last year. We stuffed her in that, but she's dead set on a pumpkin. CeCe was never a pumpkin. CeCe was actually two different dinosaurs back-to-back. Purple dinosaur, green dinosaur.
Oh, not like a Stegosaurus.
No, they're both in the T-Rex mold, I would say.
Your T-Rex, Velociraptor
kind of thing. It was a pretty badass costume, actually.
It's not bad.
So maybe Georgie can wear one of these years, but Anyway, Pedro Grifol was the manager of the White Sox.
Bringing it back.
He was having a down year, so they said, listen, Pedro, we're going to let you go.
Get out of the way.
We're bringing in Surfin' Sizemore, and he's going to call in Greg Hill.
Bringing in mystery guest Surfin' Sizemore there.
How did Greg know Grady Sizemore? He was here for like 2 months.
I was trying to figure that out.
What's the connection? Greg know?
Now, Greg does know everybody.
Also true.
If he doesn't know him, he knows somebody that does.
But how does he know him?
Yeah, what Sizemore was here for 52 games.
Should we play 6 degrees of Greg Hill?
Yes.
And we just connect everybody in the world?
Yeah.
We could do it.
Let's just connect. Grady Sizemore. How do you even do that?
Sizemore.
Just Boston. Done.
Carlos Baerga.
Yeah.
Another Indian. Guardian to the layman.
Yeah, I was going to say, watch, check your tone over
there.
Well,
he never played for the Guardians. No. So I don't think, like, you wouldn't say Grady Sizemore is a Cleveland Guardian great. You would have to.
Art Monk didn't play for the Commanders.
No, he did not. Or football team.
Right. No, that's true. Not the WFT.
Art Monk could play, though.
Oh, he'd
a ton of catches.
He'd catch it for you.
Ten catches a game.
Let me tell you,
like rolling out of bed.
We got a Friday 4-pack, and it's if you want a '90s wide receiver, and I got a '90s wide receiver.
Oh, we probably have the same one.
Do we?
Probably. All right. Damn. Well, anyway, we'll find out.
I don't know what
your answer is.
Long tease in the 4-pack coming up. We have Mike and Wenyu on a Patriots Friday about a half an hour from now. All the way next, high noon.
Woo!
A little after Lou Maloney.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.